Blog Talk Radio.
One evening, an elderly Cherokee brave told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves that are inside us all. One is evil. It is angry, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other, however, is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and he asked the grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" The Cherokee simply replied, "It's the one you feed."
Right on.
Lord, it's so hard living this life, a constant struggle each and every day. Some wonder why I'd rather die than to continue living this way. Many are blind and cannot find truth, 'cause no one seems to really know. But I won't accept that this is how it's gonna be. Therefore, you got to let me and my people go. 'Cause I wanna be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and save me?
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. I think y'all all know what it depends. Well, I'll let you know anyway. It depends on what part of the world you are listening. OT, namaste. Hola. Welcome to another episode of the Green After Tech Radio Show. Thursday evening, it is March 25th, 2021. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of the hosting duties here. Holding down the other half, the Lions historian, my best friend. His birthday just passed yesterday. My dad, Bill Green. Give it up. That's right. Yeah. So, a little extra happy birthday. What's happening, Daddy-O?
What's up?
What's up, Wilfredo?
I haven't done a disclaimer in a while, so maybe I better do the quick disclaimer, you know, just for those who are new to the show, Wilfredo is not my man's real name. He inherited it from my, he inherited it from my from my older brother. He used to call me Wilfredo. So until my son has a son that he named, you know, William Green the Third, you know, he's the last of the line of Wilfredos. My man. What's up, man?
Hey,
how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It's Thursday, you know. It's good to be back here. I missed you last Thursday.
Yeah, man.
I'm doing all
right. I was kind of like, I broke out in hives, man. One no Thursday show. What am I going to do now? How am I going to jump into my existence now? Yeah, man.
Yeah, climbing the walls. Let me go clean the windows outside or something. I don't know.
Man. Yeah, thank you for the birthday wish. That was nice of you, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I wanted to just throw that in there and surprise you, you know, giving you the rundown real quick. But I had to make sure
you
acknowledge your birthday. But before we get into, you know, all that, ladies and gentlemen, as always, Dan and I like to make sure we remind everyone a few things. First of all, we like to remind you to grab a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, a post-it note and a marker, whatever you got. You might have some questions, and we want to make sure that you don't forget them. You might even pick up some things from us green boys here on this show. So maybe you might want to write down some notes as well. But, you know, pretty much want to make sure that you don't miss out on anything or forget anything. Because here at the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show, why use 100 words when 1,000 words will do it? The chat room is open as well for those that's listening online. One thing that Dad and I always like to reiterate and remind you all is that our show is interactive with you, the listeners. You know, you can engage with us on the chat room. You can give us a call and engage with us directly on the phone. That number is 516-453-6094. 516-453-6094. And if you want to jump in, just press the 1 on your keypad, and that'll put you in the queue. So I know there's another reminder, but for some reason, I can't remember right now.
I don't know. I think you covered it all. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but you got the chat rooms open. You put the call numbers out there, the call letters. You know, people know the phone number, right? You gave them the number, right?
That's right.
And to become a member of the chat room, what do they need to do?
Oh, to engage in the chat room, you can do so. So, like game show music was coming on. You could create a free Blog Talk Radio account. Now, you can listen online without an account, which is cool. But if you want to talk with us online with the chat room, you need to open up an account. And the account can be free. Of course, though, they would need your credit card information, but they won't use it. You know, I've been doing this show for a while now, and I've never had any problems as far as that's concerned. If you can select a free account, won't be charged, you know, and, you know, you can talk to us that way as well. Technology is great when it works. And this way, too, you can also get emails and things like that when our show is coming on, you know, just get the heads up for this show. And then, of course, you can on Saturday as well. Quick plug on that. But for those that we kind of missed last week, and I know a lot of things have been going on. You know, I know some things we're gonna kind of jump into, but before we jump into it, I just wanted to just touch on something that just passed this past weekend, and I know. Maybe not really that big of a deal for some people. For some, I think it's a big deal on the 14th when we had daylight savings time, you know, because we had to spring ahead and gain an hour. So some people didn't like that because you had to wake up later. Wasuna, excuse me. Right? Wake up sooner?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have that right? Yeah.
Sounds good enough,
yeah,
man.
So,
yeah.
I hate it when those jokes don't work. But yeah, on the 20th, we just had the spring equinox. And one of the things that we've talked about on our shows, and actually we even talked about the equinox in June, I believe. But I'm sorry, I'm starting to fall off again. So the spring equinox just passed on the 20th. So a lot of people are like, well, what is the spring equinox? The first day of spring was on March 1st, right? What are you talking about? What is March 20th? Well, really on March 20th is when, you know, we have our globe is made up of two halves. We have the northern hemisphere and we have the southern hemisphere. In the United States, most of y'all that are listening, we have a northern hemisphere. So at this time on the 20th, the sun crossed the equator, which, you know, separates our globe, and the sun is now heading north. So what's happening now is that we're getting more daylight hours, and the temperatures are starting to warm up already. I think a lot of us have already noticed. So the length of day and night on the day of the equinox, the length of day and night is nearly equal in all parts of the world. So it's like this big scientific deal. But it's good to observe because the amount of daylight will continue to increase until the summer solstice. Yeah, the summer solstice is in June, which on that day, that will be the longest period of daylight. You know, Dad, you and I have always talked about how sometimes I have these shifts in energy in January and February. And you always say that I'm hibernating. And I never really, I understood what you were saying, but I never really put it towards the season, you know, and how in tune we are to things of seasons and in tune to nature, you know. So it took me a long time to understand, you know, why I got into these lows in January and February. You know, I don't know, you know, how January and February was for you this time. And I know this time around for me, things were better because we were doing the show, so it really didn't matter. But I know in previous Januaries and Februaries, things, you know, got real low. You know, wasn't a lot of sun out, and I really didn't put two and two together. You know, and then around March, we kind of come out, you know, just like the spring. So for me, it's a little personable for me, and I wanted to share this with everybody because I really enjoy this time of year. You know, we come out of, we get more daylight, and I think that's what's most important. You know what I mean? Because I think it was one point we were barely getting 10 hours of daylight. So, you know, we look at where we are now in this new era during COVID and being locked down in some places. You know, I think it's important to observe those things. And hopefully, you know, for some of you that might be kind of low or kind of down a little bit, that this might kind of awaken you a little bit and kind of bring you up. Because this is very symbolic of rebirth, of resurrecting.
Right on. Yeah.
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 And so I had a question. Well, not really a question, but I was just in my research and looking up some things before the show. You know, we've touched on a little bit about mindfulness, right? But I mean, like, I really think that this is a good time. This is a good time to really celebrate. Similar to even like New Year. I'm not like talking about popping fireworks or anything like that. But you know, just I think it would be good for us to take a moment and really just celebrate this time. This equinox signals new beginnings, you know, nature's renewal. So as we try to practice mindfulness, I think this is a really great opportunity to practice these things. What do you mean, Will?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Here we go with this mindfulness stuff again. Here we go, right? Well, one thing you can do is observe nature. Because I think, you know,
Amen.
When it's getting warmer, right? You know, we can see grass again. There's no more snow. And I can say that to everybody.
mm-hmm.
Nobody was exempt from that. You know, we see grass again.
Wow, that's right. Yeah.
You know, the days, as I mentioned, are getting longer. You can feel the sun, you know, even getting stronger if you're outside. Have you noticed that the birds are singing more? You know, just a couple of things as an example of mindfulness. Very simple things, just to notice the change. Even if you're just noticing that all the snow is gone, I think that's even a good moment of being mindful, you know. But this is a good time to practice those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even, you know, I know like a lot of us had these goals that we tried to start at the beginning of the year. I always liked March. I always liked this time of the year to take a moment to reassess those goals, to really take a moment. And I like our favorite word, Dad, is take inventory, you know, and just see
take
where you
inventory.
Are at this moment.
Amen.
You know, and you know, if you didn't reach those goals, or, you know, if you not even reach those goals, but just really look at where you are, what kind of goals did you set at the beginning of the year, and look at where you are right now. I'm not saying whether you succeeded or failed or whatever. Just look at where you are and acknowledge it, you know. Don't lay in it, you know, especially if you really didn't accomplish everything. And just one, it's another reminder. I always love these reminders for all of us not to get really stuck in the past. You know, acknowledge it, don't lay in it, and continue to move on to the present. And, you know, make the goals obtainable. And then when you obtain the goal, make sure you reward yourself. I think that's something we forget a lot of. We forget to reward ourselves.
Yeah, and I think it's great you make that reminder to us all the time. Reward yourself, right on.
Yeah. Yeah, so that, it's just, you know, something I wanted to point out. The passing of the spring equinox, excuse me. Yeah, that was just a little reminder. I thought I had some more there. It kind of went a little faster than I anticipated. I mentioned earlier that I know some people are saying, well, what do you mean March 20th is the spring equinox? The first day of spring was March 1st. But, you know, that's a meteorological thing. Meteorological. I can't even say. I have to, like, really take my time to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But meteorologists or weather scientists, they use the first day of March through May 31st. They pretty much just divide the year into quarters, and that just makes it easier to compare seasonal and, let's say, monthly statistics, I guess, you know, just comparing the numbers. From year to year. What those numbers are, I don't know. But, you know, just comparing,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. That makes me think about my time in Atlanta. Maybe I should have pursued a career being a meteorologist after airline operations.
Right. Charting weather patterns for pilots flying to Scandinavian countries, right on. I mean, how many brothers
yeah.
do they claim to that one, man? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on. You know, it's funny how one like yourself can do such a thing and then just kind of write it off as circumstance. Like, well, mentioning it ain't no big deal. Everybody does this. No, everybody doesn't. Matter of fact, I don't know anybody who does other than
yeah.
when you did. You know, I knew no one who laid out weather patterns for pilots flying to Scandinavian countries. You know, and so
yeah.
After you left that profession, I know no one now who does it. Yeah, so you know, I think it's the acknowledgement of what it. I think anyway. I think what the potential of it is to stimulate imagination. Like, wow, he did
yeah.
what? Yeah, he charted out weather patterns. Went to Amsterdam to learn how to do it. Went to Amsterdam. Yeah, you know, and I mean. Sat in the pilot seat with pilots saying, oh, man, you don't want to go here, turn right. I just think that's cool, man. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
And
you don't want to go that way, man. You need to swing around
yeah.
Greenland, man. It's Don't go that way.
Yeah. And you and your cousin Ray being able to have that kind of dialogue with him being a pilot, you know, that y'all had that shared, you know, dialogue. I just think that that's phenomenal to have two brothers talking about flight plans and flight weather patterns and zoom through the air. You know, I felt very privileged to be a part of that dialogue, to just listen in, man. You know, that's worth acknowledgement to me. And I think all too often, especially, well, maybe I can't say especially. I can say it for me, but I don't know if that's fair to include everybody. I think it's unique to have two young brothers sitting around talking about, you know, flight patterns and aviation dialogue, you know, and not from having watched a movie, but having had the experience itself. I just think maybe we as a people have tended to be so conditioned out of that imaginative field that to hear the dialogue, you know, the tendency maybe is just to kind of brush it aside as not being relative to my, you know, state of awareness. But the way we expand our state of awareness is yours by having conversations like this. You know, not reading about it, you know, for 28 days, 1 month out of the year about those who have come and gone, but to actually know the dialogue exists right now, today, even after February has come and gone. I just think that's really something that's very valuable, you know, to put in our databases so we can start having the dialogue that includes that which we have felt unbeknownst to us, that we've been left out of. No, we haven't been left out of it. There are actually brothers and sisters who know this stuff, who talk about this stuff, you know, and it's just a part of their everyday coming and going. It's not like that's the job they have. No, it's just my hobby, or it's a job I had, or it's something I know a little something about. And I just think it's fascinating. Sorry, man, if I picked you up your stride.
Yeah. No, you're good. I forgot about those conversations with Ray. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, I have.
Definitely something. Yeah. Definitely something I'm going to keep, you know, my bag of crumbs when I put my story together.
My man. That's what I'm talking about. All right. I don't want to deflect you from your trajectory. Go ahead on, man. Right on.
No, so... I just wanted to acknowledge, you know, our spring equinox that passed. And I think that, I hope, you know, as we come out of last year, that it really is symbolic of a resurrection or a change. I see the chat room is already lighting up.
Okay.
A purple pill said January was never considered the beginning of the year. You know, I've heard that. You know, it depends, of course, on what calendar you're looking at. You know, but then that's when we're talking about American culture and how a lot of things have been changed, you know. And then purple pills is something else in blend, some language. I'm not sure what that meant. But, you know, like in the Mayans.
Moving along.
Yeah, so the Mayans, you know, think they built pyramids around 1000 AD or something, I think. But the ray, the sun's light, would signal the beginning of the season. It would, you know, it would hit the top of the pyramid, and it would signal the beginning of the spring equinox, and it would look like a snake slithering down the steps. You know, so them, for them, that was the return of the sun serpent. You know, that let them know that there was the change in season. You know, with that, one last thing also I was thinking about, we talked about comedic deities, you know, and the passing of one season, let's say the winter, and then there's the arc of Ra, the chariot of Ra that signals, you know, the new light coming from the east. So there's a lot of similarities and things I think that we should be, you know, aware of. And I thought this, again, would be a good opportunity just to bring that up, Dad. So I appreciate you letting me jump into that a little bit. So that's our little spring equinox, you know, celebration.
Yeah. Well, I think that the broader focus is what you initially was engaging, and that is the changing of the seasons within us and having these, you know, having these moments, you know, that is modeled for us, you know, by the, well, by nature and by the universe, you know, by planetary alignments, you know. I think sometimes we tend to think we're disconnected parts of the greater picture. It's like, wait, these are the things that go on in the atmosphere, or these are the things that go on in the universe, or these are things that go on Earth, but these really aren't things that have anything to do with me. And quite the contrary, you know, I think that just by the nature of what we're made of, you know, and you got to be careful, you know, got to be careful about atoms, right? Because they make up everything. Anyway, that's a little corny joke. You know, that everything affects everything else, you know, and we all are becoming something, you know, and it's really a matter of getting into the rhythm of that understanding. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's seasons, you know, within themselves operate in the same rhythm as that which surrounds our environment. No, but what I think I'm hearing you suggest is that it's beneficial for us Earthlings to be aware of our inner seasons, you know, our inner shifts, you know, and sometimes, you know, having clarity around what is my season of hibernation, what is my season of regeneration, what is my season of harvest, you know, what is my season, you know, of manifestation, you know, I think the more we tune into that, the more we each of us individually will realize that within us is the shifting of the seasons, and it doesn't necessarily coincide with, you know, January through December, the way the calendar lays it out. And I think you make a very valid point, you know, that calendars have been manipulated since they were, you know, born into existence. And again, you know, it's a matter of understanding then what the inner calendar suggests, regardless of what someone has nailed up to somebody's wall. You know, I don't know. I think there's something to be said about the science of our molecular makeup, you know, that if in fact it is true that I'm a part of the divine development of all created things that are living, then I must have a place in that molecularly as well. Molecularly, there you go. Is that a word? It is now. So right on, man. Yeah. Right on, man. You know, and okay. You know, I know, you know, people, you know, I'm not going to even get into the chat room debate right now. You know, I think that the uniqueness of each of us individually is left for our own discovery. And I'm not one who tends to agree with anybody else's suggestion that, though you may not feel you're unique, I do feel I am. You know, and I think I'm as unique as I am to my purpose. And I think my purpose is defined by, you know, the day I was born and the day I realized why. I do not believe I was a random process. So I'm not going to, you know, even try to engage all that. You also talked about, what was it you talked about? Accomplishments.
Right.
I don't know if that was something that was scheduled for last week and we didn't get into, but I sure hope that you can spend a couple minutes just talking about how you had laid it out in regards to accomplishments.
You mean what I posted on the social media?
Yeah.
You lost me.
That's where you laid it out. Yeah, that's where you laid it out, you know, when you talked, okay. All right, well, never mind. You know, erase that, you know. I just thought there was something you wanted to mention in regards to spending this time, you know, through the spring, of our own seasons and the shift of the equinox to spend some time with recognizing, you know, the need for accomplishments, you know, and
yeah.
As to how you spelled it out, but, you know, I didn't know if you
wanted to mention it. Yeah, I mean, again, you know, I like March and looking at these opportunities to, you know, reevaluate and, again, just look at where I am. You know, what plans did I make? Did I even make any plans in the beginning of the year? And just use these 3 months just to reevaluate my situation and where I am. Whether that be, you know, whatever your goals financially or, you know, whatever. And if you haven't obtained those goals, just looking at it and acknowledging it and just not getting so deep into whether you accomplish it or not. The whole point was just to acknowledge it in these 3 months and keep moving forward. And I think that this time, just like the seasons, is a good time of, you know, renewal even, you know, shaking off that old winter air, or if you will, or shedding new skin or whatever it is. Whether it is an accomplishment for this week or an accomplishment for the end of the month, the question I posted was just wondering if what goals did you want to accomplish today? You know, even if it's we used to remind our listeners, you know, take a moment to do something that'll bring joy to somebody. You know, for me, it might just be answering the phone because I don't always answer the phone.
yeah, I know.
Again, I just think that this is a great opportunity to look at those things. It's tough out here. It's rough out here, and I think we need more mental and spiritual ammunition than ever. And I think this is a good time to reevaluate and look at what kind of ammunition are you holding, or what do you need to let go? You know, I mentioned in that one post that you and I were talking about how sometimes I meditate to get rid of stuff. You know, now it's spring cleaning. You know, it's spring cleaning for me is getting rid of some of that old stuff and making room for the new stuff, especially if there's more daylight. Then I hope that means I'm going to be more active. So I need to get rid of stuff. Well, as you said, you can't pick up anything if you get your hands full.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to put something down.
That's the thing, you know. But again, spring is a good time, you know, for renewal and rebirth. It's a time of transition. If you're really into, you know, more into nature, more into your spirit, metaphysical things like that, it's a time of transition when the universe and Mother Earth are giving birth to a new season, you know, play with planting crops. I downloaded something, you know, I want to learn how to garden, you know, planting crops and doing new stuff, planting the seeds, you know. Now's the time to do it. So I'm about to get all excited here.
Outstanding, man. Yeah, so where are we right now? Are we ready to cross one item off and move to the next?
Yeah, you know, like I said, man, it's a crazy time right now. You know, we got things happening in Georgia, crazy sheriffs running investigations. We got things happening in Boulder, you know, and things are happening here in Chicago. I don't know how things are happening down there, but it's just, It's tough out here, man.
Yeah, well, let's put rather than it being chaos and confusion, let's put a little organization and order to it. Like, we were off last week, but a lot has happened over the course of the last couple of weeks. You know, there are many things that are circling around right now in our nest of the world. I mean, we still have the things that, you know, have been circling for the past year in regards to COVID. You know, strides have been taken, but as much as those strides regarding, like, the vaccine for COVID have have begun to accelerate, there is still an equal number of people, at least a third anyway, who resist the idea of vaccinations, you know, which again raises the same conflict, you know, in our society, you know, science versus, you know, personal opinion, you know, and why does it have to be such a conflict? Why does it have to be so? Why do those two themes, you know, of personal opinion versus science, why does it have to be so adversarial? You know, I mean, like, is science meant to be used only when it's convenient? Is that the idea? Is there a science of convenience? You know, so it's like I don't need to apply one approach, one discipline, one concern to the next so I can go to my doctor, you know, because, you know, I got signs and symptoms of problems I don't understand, and my doctor can break it down to me. But then if another doctor who I don't know tells me about something that I don't know, then I have the convenient option of just disregarding it, even though I have my doctor to take it back to and have the conversation with him or her that I've turned my confidence over to. You know, I just don't understand how this conflict of inconvenience can be such a major issue. You know, you said not knowing what's going on down here. Well, it's not too indifferent than what's going on up there, you know, or around the hub of the United States of America. You know, I mean, like I was just looking today at the great concern now with spring break in Florida. You know, I mean, Florida has not been a secret for the past year. You know, it still has the same governor it had for the past year. His attitude has still been the same as it's been for the past year. And, you know, it's like the option of convenience suggests with the governor's help that we don't really have to pay too much attention to what's going on all around us. And for that matter, you know, the country's just outside of our boundaries. You know, I mean, the issues of coronavirus are beginning to spike. There are countries that have had, once again, the need to shut down. You know, in Toronto, you know, their intensive care units are all overwhelmed right now. And Toronto, I'm not talking about Toronto, Italy. I'm talking about Toronto, Canada. You know, that's just on the other side of Detroit. You know, so it's like, man. Yeah, I mean, and so we have this great influx of vaccines, you know, and we have this debate of effectiveness, you know, while other countries are having to shut down. So, and the president, listening to him talk today, you know, in his first media address, was laying out the agenda of items to be dealt with, but still had to answer the questions, you know, being thrown up. Well, I shouldn't say thrown up. That don't sound very appealing. Being tossed out by, well, being presented, there you go, by the media. You know, and it's like, and I understand the frustration of the, well, in my little limited mind, I understand the frustration of the media because the media hasn't had a chance to be the media for the past 4 years. You know, they've been boxed in by this dude who was Biden's predecessor, who pretty much disregarded the importance of the media to such an extent that he used it as his own private bully platform to just, you know, humiliate, you know, the media. So now the media has a guy up there who's willing to engage them. So let's forget about the past 4 years. Let's just attack, and my man was having to, you know, fend and field all these questions without people, you know, without reporters creating an agenda for themselves to correspond with the agenda that he had presented. Like, you know, we have to prioritize our issues. Coronavirus hasn't gone away for convenience sake. You know, we're finally starting to make some inroads, but we're still having to deal with the same supreme idiocy that we've been dealing with for the past year.
and trying to make an effective move that won't cause this virus to spike again. So it's like that's number one on his agenda, and right there is, you know, improving the economy, you know, providing some degree of COVID relief, you know, and one form of it obviously is you know, the billions of dollars thrown into, you know, government relief that includes the and it's not really what it is called in the bill, but for lack of the formal way of calling it, you know, the stimulus check. I mean, everybody wants to get paid. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, tell me all that other stuff, but where my check? You know, okay, but there's a purpose behind that, and it's an issue that is intended to resolve itself by this one piece being a part of a bigger legislation that is meant to help bring some relief to people who are otherwise really struggling with their own survival. You know, so that's, yeah. You know, and then we got the issues down on the border, you know, migrant issues. You know, well, people, you know, up by the Canadian border may not be as invested in the concerns about migrant and immigration laws right now. But that doesn't mean they don't exist, and that don't mean they're not, you know, showing up on the radar screen. But you have reporters today wanting to make that number one on the agenda, regardless of what the president's agenda is. So it's like, okay, so how do we balance it out when we've dealt with 4 years as not even being allowed to have an agenda? We could throw it at that other dude. I don't even like saying his name, you know. And that's just what's right in front of us, you know. So the infrastructure, most of us have no idea what we mean by infrastructure. You know, we think that has to do with rebuilding streets, you know, or putting bulbs in the streetlights, you know. Well, you know, it has to do with technology, the technological infrastructure that I think it was reported that we're like 87th, you know, in the world with technology. And that's, you know, that's an overwhelmingly frightening idea when you think of the number of countries that are really trying to tap in, you know, to our American way of life. And most people don't think about that, you know, because most of us just want to throw a switch and have the electricity lights come on and turn a faucet and have the water come through, you know, and, you know, stand in line and be able to buy groceries. Most of us aren't thinking about what would happen if just any one of those, you know, were no longer available. We get a little little taste of it, like Texas had a taste of it when, you know, the storm hit. I love what you said, that we all got a taste of what it is now to feel the snow's melting right on, you know.
Man,
there ain't no exclusion. Yeah. Yeah. So it was like there was an information moment spent with the president, you know, of shared concerns through an agenda that was somewhat prioritized. And yeah, it's a matter of all of us understanding what the priorities are in comparison to what my priorities are, you know, and understanding then how priorities are met. You know, we've kind of gotten away from all of that over the past 4 years, and it's something to see its resurgence, but realizing just how deficient things have been and how people have just been starving for information, you know, like, tell me what's going on. So anyway, I just wanted to take a moment or two or 12 or 15 to just touch on that a little bit, you know, just the prevailing issues of what's going on. That's just on the top of the list. That's not the things that have happened over the course of the last 2 weeks, you know, and what you were alluding to, Will, with the mass shootings both in Atlanta and in Boulder, Colorado. Atlanta last week and Boulder, Colorado this week, which again brings to the forefront, you know, gun control laws, you know, and this idiot out of Texas, you know, posturing himself to say, we have this conversation all the time, and all we do is come together and talk, and nothing actually is really done, or whatever is done is even worse than what it was before we sat down and talked. You know, and this is an elected official who we pay, you know, to do a job. And if that's his idea of meeting our needs through what we hired him to do, That dude needs to be fired, and we need to understand we're the ones who are in the position to fire him. He's telling me that what he's there paid to do and legislate laws to address this growing, ongoing issue around lack of gun control and saying that it does no good to sit down and talk about it. Well, what are they there for if they're not going to sit down and talk about it? He's just saying that it's just supposed to just, you know, work its own way through. Well, it hasn't worked its own way through in 600 years. We've just gone from a musket, you know, to a machine gun, you know, and that's what those heavy assault rifles are, nothing but machine guns. So, you know, I'm sorry, man, I apologize for going on and on about this. These are the real issues at hand. And I think we've been numbed over the course of the 4 years because we had a president who just was in denial about everything, just deny. You know, and while we're going to pimp the system and we're going to give a tax cut to the rich, and it will go unnoticed, you know, and it did. You know, so here we are, you know, scurrying around for crumbs, you know, and not even, you know, because the fat cats tell us, well, they can't do anything other than just sit around and talk, and that's not effective. And these are the people we paid, you know, to. I don't think people know that the Senate and the House are designed to create laws. They're not designed to enforce laws singularly that existed. They're designed to create laws that take the place of laws that are no longer effective. That's what they're paid to do, you know. And so to sit, tell me that, well, we can sit around and talk, but it won't do no good, then I don't need your ass in that chair. You know, excuse me for getting carried away there, man. So anyway, man, you know, I just wanted to toss that out there and just maybe provide some degree of dialogue around the prevailing themes that are going on right now. You know, I mean, that's not even to mention more in detail about, you know, what went down last week in Atlanta, you know, and you had this young dude, 21 years old, right? But before I get into that, go ahead, Will. You know, I don't want to, you know, go off on a beaten path, chop you off at your legs, man.
I had already transitioned to you. I had nothing else for you right now.
yeah,
I know
I'm
that,
sorry,
you know.
It's been 2 weeks. You know, I'm tripping.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks. It's a lot of what now?
Now what?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's been a lot of stuff. I didn't have anything else for you. Like I said, I know you wanted to touch on, you know, what happened in Atlanta and Boulder. Not necessarily a Black's view, but a couple of these points are very interesting. And I know a lot of people have talked about it, you know, just as far as, number one, the apprehension of these guys and that they're alive. And then there's the question about gun control and how easy it is for people to get guns. And now after they got a gun, they want to question their mental stability, which, you know, they should be questioned first before they get a gun. So I know that there are a couple of things, like I said, not necessarily in our normal segments, but I know there was a couple of things I know that you and I had talked about and wanted to put it open to, you know, on the show here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the sidebar, you know, the soundbite is pretty much what has been going on since when. There's undercurrents, though. There's undercurrents behind all that, and to me anyway. You know, like the shootings in Georgia last summer. Georgia passed a long-delayed hate crime bill. They finally passed it last year following the death of Ahmaud Arbery, a 25-year-old black man, if you remember, shot dead by three white dudes while he was running, while he was jogging.
Yeah.
You know, yet in the wake of this recent mass shooting in Atlanta that left 8 people dead, 6 of them women with Asian heritage, you know, activists, public officials, and both local and national lawmakers are asking why the new statute or the new law is not being applied by prosecutors, which allows
additional penalties for crimes motivated by bias against race, color, religion, national origin, gender, sexual orientation, or disability. Robert Aaron Long, 21 years old, man, who admitted to shooting up to 3 Atlanta area spas because of his sex addiction, was charged with 8 counts of murder and 1 count of aggravated assault. A hate crime charge could be added later, but investigators feel they lack sufficient evidence. You know, so here we are. This cat's 21 years old. You know, and what you said, the sheriff of one of the Atlanta areas said that, you know, he's having a bad day, you know. And the issue had to do with his sex addiction. So he took it out on these spas. You know, 21 years old. Now, I'm a recovering alcoholic, you know. My bad day did not allow me to go shoot up liquor stores because that's where I caught my alcohol. You know, my alcohol addiction did not tell me that there was an option to say if I ever have a bad day, I can just go mow down people in Rothschild and explain the reason I did that, because I was really thinking about drinking again and it was driving me, you know, into a state of duress. Somewhere along the way, this country has to come to grips with something, man. But before I even go into that, then this week, in Boulder, Colorado, Amon Al Awi Alyssa, that's the best I can do with my, you know, limited ability to speak names I'm not familiar with. Also 21, man. You know, the suspected gunman. You know, in this week's mass shooting, his lawyers asked to delay the next status hearing in the case for up to 3 months, saying we cannot do anything until we are able to fully assess Mr. Alyssa's mental illness. 10 people, including Boulder Police Officer Richard, Steidel, as well as his colleague, Eric Talley, were mowed down. You know, so you raised it, you made the comment, you made the point just a couple minutes ago about mental illness. You know, you're going to assess a person's mental illness after he's been given a license to purchase a weapon, you know, that has the potential of slaying people. You're going to say, well, let's just see how it turns out. And then it turns out badly, so now you're going to go and assess. But doesn't it have something to do with cart and horse or barn door and horse? Like, you're going to close the barn door after the horse been stolen, or you're putting the cart before the horse, or however that goes. I mean, wouldn't common sense dictate that maybe we need to assess the mental condition of a person before we put a weapon in their hands? I don't understand why that's a debate. You know, I just can't see how that's even an issue. You know, and I understand, you know, people are arming themselves because they're afraid of, you know, the civil unrest and the revolution of, you know, crazy black people coming to get their stuff. You know, so they got to be ready. You know, so when we come breaking down their doors, they can defend their homes. You know, well, you know, yeah, okay, maybe we didn't think that something like trying to overthrow the government could happen, but you know, that's they just playing. This is the real issue. Mm. We got to be careful not to let people of color come after our stuff. So we got to, you know, right. We got to train ourselves, arm ourselves. Even though, you know, other than a few armed insurrections during slave era southern plantations, like Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, and 2 or 3 more, and not to discount, you know, our white brother, you know, John Brown. You know, you're really hard-pressed in the 20th and 21st century to find armed, you know, revolts, you know, against white people. You found, like, the Black Panther movement protecting themselves against armed conflict with police, but not really going out of there. We're not yet to, you know, the SDS, the Students of the Democratic Society, but, you know, again, that was pretty much driven by white dudes. You know,
it's a, you know, there's somewhere down the line we're going to have to ask ourselves. Now, we've done a good job in this country profiling black people. What do we need to do to profile white people? Or was profiling even designed to profile non-people of color?
Profiling white people?
That's kind of, yeah, how can that be done? Can it be done? You know, is there a profile that exists, you know, for potential white male mass shooters, you know, that the police can use and, you know, pull their cars over, you know, on the highway, or, you know, have them step out of a car at a stop sign in the middle of the night, you know, in a white neighborhood, you know, is there a way that profiling can be, you know, done to prevent these white male mass shooters, or was it even intended to do that? You know, what exactly is the purpose of profiling, since this government acknowledges profiling exists? And is it that bias that we accept the idea of profiling as being directed toward people of color, males of color in particular, black males of color in general, but somehow white males get a pass on that? I mean, is there some way even that you can profile, you know, what you know about white male mass shooters, you know, when they purchase certain weapons or, you know, get these different magazines or what they call these gun stocks or whatever, you know, that you know damn well they're not getting them to go hunt deer. I don't remember deer being armed and dangerous at any time in my existence, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that to me seems to be a debate that ain't happening. How do we profile potential white mass shooters, white male white mass shooters? You know, both of these cats were 21 years old, man. You know,
right.
And they got what they got right here. You know, and I think somebody was telling me today the first victim in the Boulder shooting was just this dude my age. You know, just wandering into the supermarket just to buy his groceries. I mean, you know, sounds more. You know, like, man, how many times have I done that here? How many times have I done that with your Aunt Brenda? You know, almost to the point where it's kind of like an outing for us, you know, to wander up to, you know, the neighborhood grocery store. We're here, you know, the chain that we go to. You know, and here's this cat just going to the store, man, and this cat, Alisa, that's his first victim. He just, what did this man do to him that made him a worthy target to mow down? You know, what kind of mind, you know, feels that kind of anger, and how does our system of gun purchasing allow somebody like that to even be able to, you know, never have to be tested, challenged, or questions about their mental stability until after, you know, they commit a heinous, you know, offense like what took place these last 2 weeks. But it's ongoing. You know, this white dude has a bad day and he goes out and kills 10 people. You know, a brother has a bad day for being suspected of passing a $20 counterfeit bill and he gets knelt on his throat until he dies. I think that's a conflict of interest. But I don't know, maybe that's just me, man. Can you help an old man out? You know, I was old enough as it was 2 weeks ago. Now I'm even a year older.
I wish I could help you out. I mean, I don't know. You know, people, the brother, I forgot his name right now, you know, changing, fixing his ride, you know, and gets into a conflict with the police. You know, the brother sitting with his girlfriend in the car, you know, with kids in the car. You know,
Kids in the car, you know. Yeah, climbing back into his ride, walking right past an officer, you know, and somehow climbing back into his ride with his kids in there warrants him being plugged 7 times in the back.
Oh,
what's up with that?
Not even,
you know.
Well, not even that guy. I mean, I have my
no, I'm
I have
sorry.
Some issues about. No, I,
I'm
yeah.
sorry. We talked
no, I have,
about
I have some
more
issues.
Than one. Oh, my God. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. That's the thing, too. Like, which one are you talking about? Which guy that got shot?
Yeah.
Which person that got shot by the police? That's crazy. Like, which one? I can't remember all
what's
their names.
That's crazy. Man.
With that guy that happened in Wisconsin, I mean, you know, there's a question
Jacob
of
Blake,
him going
right.
back
yeah.
to his vehicle.
Yeah.
Jacob Blake. You know, there's the question of him
yeah.
going back to the vehicle. You know, even the police not really controlling the situation. There's a whole lot of things, you know, to it. But, no, the one brother that was sitting in the passenger seat, his girlfriend was in the driver's side. And, you know, he didn't have a weapon on him, you know. But, you know, they shot him.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get his wallet or something. I can't remember all the details. And sometimes I can't remember because I think I subconsciously just try to forget it sometimes. You know, in those moments you say that we're
mm-hmm.
numb. You know, because
mm-hmm.
it's a lot, you know. And
mm-hmm.
that mountain just keeps growing. You know, names after victims after
yeah.
victims. You know, how do we racially profile people in law enforcement who are domestic terrorists? You know, how do we profile that? That's a great question, I think. I mean, because
yeah.
mentally, there needs to be some kind of mental, you know, filter. You know, when I didn't, let's see what I did. My name, address, how long I lived there, you know, personal information, you know, like social and stuff like that. I agreed to a background check, maybe, I think. I'm trying to remember what did I fill out for my FOIA car here in Illinois, my firearms car.
Mm-hmm.
But there weren't any I think there might have been maybe a few questions, now that I recall. But, you know, multiple choice, pretty easy to, you know, answer. It's not like somebody sitting there in front of me watching my hands shake or sweat coming from my brow or anything like that, you know. You find the right answer, the answers they want
yeah.
to know. And,
mm-hmm.
some type of thorough, not investigation, but just, yeah, I mean, whatever. It wasn't really a question mm-hmm. of mental stability. Like I said, you just fill out multiple choice and keep it moving.
Yeah, man.
So,
you know, so, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
yeah, there isn't, you know, and we've talked many years on different shows and platforms about law enforcement, and black and white.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just talking about white law enforcement. You know, we're talking about people in law enforcement, period, you know, and their mental stability, you know, and them not really
mm-hmm.
being mentally equipped to protect our streets, protect our neighborhoods,
yeah.
and to protect us.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm listening to you, and I'm also, you know, looking at some of the chaos going on in the chat room that I'm really not comfortable with. But I'll address that, I guess, with you at some other point. You know, and nevertheless, you know, some things I just, some foolishness I ain't got no time for. And but the point we're talking about right now is so much, to me, so much more pressing, you know, than some, you know, random commentary to have no direction. Artie, I really love you, baby. You know, that's my girl. Artie is Arlene. Artie's not my cousin Deacon. Lots of people thought Artie was my cousin Art. It's like, no, that's a childhood friend, you know, and my best friend's wife, you know, my best friend Richard, who, you know, was really the inspiration behind. His death was the inspiration behind me writing Mastering the Art of Failure in Relationships. Mm. You know, this year I will have been 40 years in recovery. And Artie had so much to do with me starting at, really, so much to do. She was the driving force behind me being able to develop my counselor certification program over at the Center for Inner City Studies on the South Side, you know, and I think Artie's saying she has to bow out now because she can't hear us anymore. She can't hear the show. So now I'm wondering if you can hear me, Will.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, I didn't know, you know, because you were saying there may be some technical problems. I hate the fact that she has to leave and this other dude is still on there. I'm not going to even waste time saying, you know. But we need to do a better job of deciding how we're going to supervise the chat room because it's our responsibility. Anyway, you know, having so much to do with allowing me to create that program, I have, you know, and knowing, you know, having grown up with her husband, who I knew before I met her, you know, there's this thing that I don't know, man. I don't know if American society is ready yet to own the fact that it has hidden its agenda, you know, of white supremacy for so long that what we see, we are beginning to just accept as commonplace. You know, like you're running down names, and I'm thinking we're talking about the same dude, and it's like, no, man, it's this other cat I'm talking about. You know, this other brother who was shot, you know, in another type of circumstance. You know, and it's like, so are we getting so used to these things, you know, that we just accept it as, you know, the dodge, the sight job, the gaslighting that this country has done with its refusal to print its true history? And then even if, like we, for many shows, we did the research on Manifest Destiny. Does it do any good to even uncover all of that if we still go right back to the same situations as if all of that uncovered history doesn't matter? You know, do we approach the issues of profiling? You know, it was called stop and frisk in my day, You know, there was there was this issue of stopping and frisking that we dealt with as teenagers, my generation in Chicago, you know, that, you know, the police could just randomly just take us in, you know, because they just felt, you know, we were in endangerment being on the street. You know, it didn't have to do with curfew. It had to do with just being out there and just being harassed. You know, even as young adults, just being pulled over and being told that someone said, I remember me and Cousin Art being pulled over, and this is out in Chatham, back in the day out in Chatham, being pulled over by two detectives because his horn kept blowing, you know. And so they justified pulling us over and taking us out and breaking us down, you know, because his horn got stuck and would intermittently blow. You know, and them justifying that reason, you know, and Art having to get out and try to show the police under the hood how it would happen periodically. And, of course, you know how it goes. It wouldn't happen when he wanted it to. You know, but they harassed us until they got tired of it and sent us on our way. You know, these kind of things we grow up and dealing with. So when these issues come to light with these brothers and sisters, like we did one show of all these, you know, what was it, 32 sisters since 92, you know, and yeah. And we just got so conditioned that we just accept the plight of black people as being an endangered species in America that white males in particular and white people in general just don't ever have to be concerned about. And we can't even have the conversation because we don't want to offend anybody or sound like we're a radical. You know, I remember talking about this when I worked in the field of substance abuse and people, my own colleagues, you know, calling me a racist. Because I was raising the issue of how unbalanced the approach toward counseling and treatment is for black people, because black people have never really been a focus of research. So we're just generalized clients in treatment, and the suggestion is whatever somebody learns about addiction applies to us, whether we know anything about black people and their patterns of, you know, addictive use or not, you know, and are we just so used to that, man, that we just shrug our shoulders and say, well, better luck next year? And, you know, I know I'm being, you know, rhetorical, but still, I like to just, you know, I mean, like, you're a couple, you know, couple something-somethings younger than me, you know, and I just, you know, you're my mouthpiece. You're my go-to guy. You're the one I depend on to speak, you know, for the generation behind me, you know, and give me an idea of what the value system is, man, that, you know, maybe I've grown out of and lost contact with. Or no, have I put you to sleep?
No. You know, it reminds me of what I was talking about earlier with the whole meditation thing and spring cleaning and all that stuff, getting rid of old stuff. I think, I don't know any other way to put it, but I mean, obviously there is something that's lost. I don't know, that either we forgot or we just don't have, or I don't know. You know, the whole thing with the meditating, just to remind you, you know, we're talking about meditating to remove clutter so I can find what's forgotten or what's hidden. Because a lot of times we have these answers in front of us, but we forgot about those answers. You know, we've talked about the breadcrumbs, and we talked about the breadcrumbs and writing our stories and looking back to the things that we, you know, we were just talking about the whole thing when I did airline operations. I'm charting flight plans for CAS to fly to Amsterdam or wherever every day, you know. And now, you know, that was, what, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And now it's just like a faded memory of, oh, yeah, you know, but I forgot about those skills. I forgot about that experience. You know, I forgot about those moments where I can pat myself on the back and, pardon my language, I can pat myself on the back and say, yeah, I'm the shit because I've accomplished this, because I'm doing this, you know, because I have achieved this goal, you know, at this spot faster than anybody ever, and I'm black, you know. So I think I think that we as a collective, we as a collective have forgotten, I think. Or it's hidden.
Yeah. What a
those keys, those things that we've forgotten about. And so when we run into these continued situations of people getting shot and killed like this by law enforcement, or people being assassinated, Fred Hampton, you know, people getting assassinated and nothing happens. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's a signature on a piece of paper, or there's some kind of reform or reclamation or something. But, you know, it's about as strong as the weight the paper can hold, you know. Mm-hmm. But the power of the pen does all these changes, and we're like, oh, wow, thanks, you know. We talked about the power of the apology, the sincerity, and the bullshit, you know. And I think we've just forgotten, man. I mean, I wish I can be more specific and kind of get more into what I mean.
No, man. No. I don't think specifics apply right now. I keep going, please, man. You know, this is kind of open mic time right now, man.
Yeah, some people call it post-slavery mentality. Post-stress, you know, mentality, whatever you want to call it, traumatic slavery, a traumatic stress, you know,
well,
six in one hand, half a dozen in the other.
But I think there's something, I don't know about the six in one hand, half dozen in the other, but I think it's something to say about post-traumatic stress as it relates to today's generations born from slavery. Nobody provided counseling, you know, for people coming out of slavery. You know, nobody provided therapy for ex-slaves. You know, nobody provided a handbook or a manual on how to live free. You know, as a matter of fact, even with the signing, as we talked about, go ahead.
Can you imagine what it's like to be a slave that realized that it wasn't okay for slaves, for white people to kill slaves and to mutilate and to butcher and to do whatever it means? Just that first moment when it's like, you mean that wasn't, you know, that was wrong? Because
that was wrong?
In their mind, that was
beautiful,
was their reality. Oh, yeah.
Beautiful,
it's normal for people to get their whole foot cut off because they're running away.
Yeah,
that's normal.
Beautiful, man. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. Heck of a thing. To get just beautiful, man. Yeah. There it is right there.
You know, so now
you know
it's like, I know what you mean. You know, so let's fast forward to today. And now, you know, people still continue to get assassinated. People still have their homes and doors knocked down with wrong warrants. You know, people still have their civil rights violated by people who we pay to protect us. And now it's becoming like, oh, what, you know, well, the police killed the victim. Well, what did the victim do?
Yeah.
What did they do?
Yeah.
That's the
right.
First
police
thing that we, you know, what color were they?
Man.
What color were they?
You hear what you just said? Police killed the victim. Police killed the victim. So what did the victim do? You know, how can the victim be the perpetrator of their own misery, man? Oh, that's deep, man, what you just said. You know, man, I mean, there's so many sub-branches to go with this, what you just said, man. So many sub-thoughts to correspond with what you just said. You know, what did the victim do? You know, coming out of slavery and find out, what? You mean lynching me is not a legal activity?
I mean,
only
man.
That's deep, Will. Yeah,
it's
deep,
not
man.
Normal
I mean,
to see my friends hung from a tree.
Man. And set on fire. You know,
man. And all that stuff.
It's not normal to sell a whole family just to punish, you know, a father and to show him who's in charge, you know, or to beat a father in front of the mother and the kids to show them who's in charge, or to rape the mother, you know, randomly in the middle of the night with the father right there witnessing to show both of them who's in charge and the children seeing it and hearing it too, you know, and then we turn around now and we have to deal with Georgia state's legislature passing these things to make it more difficult to vote, you know, I mean, to vote because they didn't like the way the democratic system allowed somebody other than that idiot who ran things for 4 years to be booted out of office, to be fired. And because the system worked, we got to change it. You know, and this is like, we're only talking about a few generations removed from slavery behaving this way. You know, you're throwing down a gauntlet there, bro. We might be knocked off the air by next week.
There's a lot of those, I forgot what you call them, those little sub dots, or I forgot what you call them. But, yeah, there's so many, you know. Look it up. I mean, look at me and you and people that have the same skin complexion that we got.
Yeah.
You know?
Like it's our fault. you know, me and my dark-skinned brother went to the same store, and I jumped in front of him, so they gave me light skin. And now he don't like me. Like, you know, he would have been light-skinned if I hadn't jumped in front of him. Like, you know, and I go through my life being treated like it's, you know, you did this, you know, and you did it to me. I should have been the one to be light-skinned. You know, man.
But to have a sister,
when you're white, you're white, you know. But when you're black, you got all kind of things going on. You got all kind of subtopics, you know. So I got to deal with a dark-skinned sister walking up and telling me, oh, man, I ain't going to date you because I don't date light-skinned black men. So I ain't even got a chance to say hello yet. And the verdict is already in. I mean, you know, where's the justice in that? And I have to live for the duration of my life with that kind of, you know, intracultural behavior. You know, and to still at 74, you know, be called high yellow. You know, what's up with that, man? All right, I'm venting. I know I am. I'm hearing myself. I apologize.
No, I mean, these are the things that happen, though. I mean, but in the end, the whole point is we recognize them, right? We all get on our rowboat. I can't believe this. I'd kick that mofo ass. You know, whatever. We get on those mofos and we have those moments.
Yeah, that's it.
These white people, these black people, I can't
it.
Believe these people. You know, but in the end, it's just we get off the rowboat and then we go about our day. We get on it.
Yeah, but you told
me that it.
Inside joke, and nobody knows what the heck you're talking about, man. He's talking about, y'all, he's talking about a scene from Boomerang, you know, and, you know, and when Martin Lawrence was teasing David, whatever his name was, the other brother, and whenever he would get aggravated, he'd start rolling the machine faster and faster, and Eddie said, man, quit ragging that brother before you have a heart attack, you know. And so it's like it's what we go through, man, you know. We just get – it's like some kind of entertainment that we don't know about that's designed to aggravate us, you know, until we just completely lose our minds. I don't know, man. But I do know one thing, bro. If I don't know anything else, you know, it's like what Scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, you know. So if we're not about the business of learning, you know, this environment that we inhabit, you know, we're setting ourselves up to be continuously, you know, victims of our own circumstances. You know, and I don't know what else other than putting elected officials into Congress to, you know, write the laws and create the statutes that permit, you know, an equal existence. I don't know what else, you know, is available. I mean, you know, We're a cautionary people. We're a nonviolent people, but you know, unless it involves our own, you know, we pretty much toe the line and do the things that are required to defend this country. But we haven't figured out a way to defend ourselves from this country. You know, when this country is making us the perpetrators of our own misery. You know, that's a heck of a thing you said. You know, what did the victim do? You know, what did the victim do to be killed by the police? Man, I'll be thinking about that the rest of the night.
And we can look at what happened, let's say, with this guy in Atlanta, with these Asian victims. And I know it was other people besides Asians, but the whole point was that, you know, this cat couldn't control himself, so he had to let loose, you know. But, you know, so it's the victim's fault, you know. Like, why are we still debating, you know, it's not race, it wasn't a racist act, but because they tempted his wee-wee, you know, because he had, you know, I mean, it's still the same thing, you know. I mean, I don't know.
You got any people in the queue, man, or are we just winging it right now?
No. Nobody's on the phone lines. I'm not showing any phone numbers.
None at all.
We just me and you in the chat room. Just me and you in the chat room.
Okay.
But, you know.
Well, maybe we need to cut it short tonight, huh?
Well, you know,
unless you
want
to spin your
wheels
a little longer. Yeah.
Yeah, but before we do, I didn't know. Oh. I wanted to ask you, did you have anything, you know, crazy thing, you know, it's one of those things like, really? I know there's a few moments in my lifetime when I've heard songs of the past, and I thought these songs were sung by black guys and they were sung by white guys. And it's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here we have where the United Negro College Fund elects its first ever African-American chair of the board in its nearly 77-year history, you know.
Yeah. No, I didn't do my homework there, man, you know. But next week, we're going to have it on the agenda to talk about. Absolutely. What I did want to, if I may segue out for a second, I wanted to read something right off of Facebook, you know, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
Feel free. You know?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm coughing here. Yeah, can you hear me?
It was I can hear you. It was posted by your cousin, Pete. you know, and under the title Black Americans. And he was acknowledging Henry Ossian Flipper, you know, born March 21st, 1856, and died April 26, 1940. You know, so like March 21st just passed, so happy birthday to my brother, you know, and rest in peace, Brother Flipper. You know, in 1877, he was the first African-American to graduate from the United States Military Academy at West Point, earning a commission as a second lieutenant in the United States Army. Flipper was born into slavery in Thomasville, Georgia, the eldest of five brothers, his mother Isabel Flipper and his father Festus Flipper, a shoemaker and carriage trimmer, were owned by Ephraim G. Ponder, a wealthy slave dealer. Flipper attended Atlanta University during Reconstruction. Hey, one of your alma maters, right? There is a freshman there. As a freshman, Representative James C. Freeman, we talked about him a couple weeks ago, appointed him to attend West Point, where four other black cadets were already attending. The small group had a difficult time at the academy, where they were rejected by white students and, I think, you know, silenced, if I remember correctly, meaning nobody would talk to them, you know. Nevertheless, Flipper persevered and in 1877 became the first of the group to graduate, earning a commission as a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army Cavalry. He was assigned to the 10th Cavalry Regiment, of course, 10th Cavalry, right? One of the four all-black Buffalo Soldier regiments in the Army. And I'm sure everybody knows the story about Buffalo Soldiers. That was a title Indians gave them because they wore buffalo robes in the winter. And with their woolly black hair, the Indians thought they resembled buffalo, so came the title Buffalo Soldiers, and became the first black officer to command regular troops in the U.S. Army. You know, all black regiments had been commanded only by white officers. So Cousin Pete, you know, put that, you know, out there. I wanted to read it, and there was further commentary, you know, and Brother Pete even said he suffered and paved the way for other black graduates. And then he talked about his friend Pete, now talking about his friend Joe Anderson. You know, Joe Anderson, I don't know if he was age 65 or the class of 65, gave the Flipper address at West Point. West Point now has its first African-American superintendent, Lieutenant General Darrell A. Williams. You know, and other things were said and other comments made. Also, one person posted some aspects and some highlights, I should say, of your cousin Pete, you know, that, you know, made my chest puff out, of course, you know, because someone acknowledging, you know, cousin Pete's accomplishments in the service is something, you know, if you know Pete, you know, he would never do. You know, he never got puffed up about himself. So it was great to read other people talking about him for him, you know.
Yeah.
In many ways, my hero, of course, because he graduated from Inglewood High School in Chicago. Yeah, the same Inglewood. In the same community, huh?
I said Inglewood.
What'd you say? Inglewood High School, yeah. My alma mater. You know, he graduated from Inglewood, from the hood, you know. And to go to West Point, having graduated from Inglewood, that is constantly under the gun by media, as far as the crime and everything else that's going on in the area, you know, and if that doesn't deserve a shout out, I don't know what does. I remember when Pete and the family came over to Inglewood, you know, and he was in his cadet grades, you know, man, sharp up on the stage, you know, and gave an address, and, you know, and they were all leaving. And I caught him at the, you know, just when they were leaving, right by the principal's office, and I yelled out, "Hey, Pete!" And you know, people looking at me like, "Hey, man, you know what you doing? Calling that, you know, West Point cadet by name like that? You don't know him." And he yelled back, "Cousin Billy!" And it was like E.F. Hutton, man. People just froze. Yeah, I walked up at him and Aunt Helen, Uncle Warren, Marty, Art. They all, I think Art was here, I'm not sure, but I know Marty was. They all just embraced me, man. And for the rest of that day, man, I was the celebrity of Inglewood, man. My cousin had gone to West Point. You know, a prideful moment I'll never forget, man. You know, yeah. And so, you know,
to know that, you know, him posting what he's posting, but knowing that he's also, I believe his wife, June, is in the process of helping him write his book, man, you know, which I think is just the most exciting thing in the world, man, to think that, you know, did I say June? I meant Judy. Or did I say, you know, shit, there I go, man. I keep getting, you know, the names mixed up. I apologize.
Now you got me messed up. I'm trying to remember now. I'm like, is it June or June?
You know, well, since you don't see any numbers there, I doubt if they're listening. So I'm let off the hook, you know, in that regard. You know. And I don't think any, you know, because I think he does a prayer thing on Thursday night. So I think all of them are listening in on that. So I think I'm getting by, you know, not remembering.
Well, maybe they'll get catch the archives, though.
Yeah, I ain't got to worry about that. You know, but anyway, I know her name. It just happens, you know, that I just get caught up like that. But anyway, you know, I just wanted to just give that shout out right quick, man, because, you know, what a major accomplishment, you know, and what a mark to leave in society. That's where you become something more than the dash between the dates on the tombstone that hovers above the grave holding the remnants of the, you know, the dead, deceased, and departed. You know, and this is Pete's story confined in the dash. I wanted to give some voice to that, man, right on.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of the dash in between, just as a reminder, Saturday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, we have the new class that we like. We don't like to call it a show. Write Your Own Book Club. Saturdays, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. You can find that under Dad's page, GreenBG52. If you follow us on Facebook, you know, we have our links available for you, as well as both our groups, The Greenhouse Effect and Write Your Own Book Club. And it's not necessarily a book. Maybe you have some other form of artistry that you can share. But the whole point is that it's yours to share. It's your story.
I've
been listening and studying. I've been doing my homework. You know, and you know, it's just something I think that everybody can benefit from. Saturdays, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, and he does give homework, so don't be coming in like I'm half asleep.
Well, yeah, you can come in half asleep. It doesn't matter. And the thing is, you know. The homework, I mean, it's not it's no fee for the class. It doesn't offer any grade, and there's no credits or continuing education units, you know. So if it's something, you know, it's something that is meaningful, you know, the assignments serve a purpose. I wanted to real quick, June Patricia House Miller. So it's June, not Judy.
Yeah.
And as hard as I try, you know, I just sometimes forget. So, June, I apologize once again, you know, and sweetest pie, and she doesn't deserve me, you know, mutilating her name like that. You know, Pete's previous spouse was named Judy, and I knew Judy. So that's the mix-up in my own brain, you know, is what causes my inner conflict and confusion. So I apologize, you know, all the way around. Yeah, and thank you, man, for bringing, you know, the Write Your Own Book Club, you know, into tonight's discussion. And you're right, you know, it's called Write Your Own Book, but book is metaphor for however it is that one, you know, expresses oneself. But I'm not going to turn this into Write Your Own Book Club. You know, that's Saturday, right?
Well,
this is Greenhouse Effect.
I think that they're all connected anyway, you know, but yeah, but we definitely have that going for everybody as well.
And Will is very much an active part in that, y'all, in case you're wondering. And he, you know, he's my wingman. He's the EP, executive producer, and he keeps me on my toes, you know, as, you know, this is really, I co-host with him tonight, but this is really his show. And he allows me to sit in with him, and he tries to keep me bridled, you know. And he does a good job. Yeah, you do a good job. I don't let loose the slew of swearing like I ordinarily would. And I try to be
caller friendly, you know, but I'm still not. Like, I wound up blocking somebody who I just felt was just abusing the privilege of public speech in our chat room, and because it was just nonsense after a point. And I know that's something you would never do. You know, so Will's the user-friendly guy. He's the caller-friendly guy. He's the chat room-friendly guy. You know, I'm the bad cop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree, you know, to a certain point. You know, I mean, we've, you know, back in 92 or something, I was going to South Suburban College, and South Suburban College, ladies and gentlemen, is a school in South Holland, Illinois, suburbs of Chicago. And one day, at this time I was president of the African American Student Union. This was back when colleges, schools still had African American Student Unions. We still had to separate African American students. You know, that's crazy, right? 1992,
Had your own T-shirts, yeah.
Yeah. I still got a couple of them. So one day, and this was completely on a whim. This was not planned at all. And at this one table in the lunchroom, this round table in the lunchroom, I had a person who was a Jehovah's Witness, a person who was devoted Catholic, if you will, a Hebrew Israelite, his brother from the Nation of Islam, and a couple other people. And we were all sitting at the table.
You had a Christian. You don't have to put it on Catholic. You had a Christian.
I'm sorry, Christian.
Yeah.
I couldn't. You know, that was one of those things. Is it Catholic or Christian? I can't remember. Is it Catholic or Christian?
Right.
It's both. Let's get it. You know, no. But, you know, in this table, as you see, there was a diverse group of spiritual teachings happening, involved in just conversation, you know, and I was able to mediate conversation. And I think it was one of that, you know, that I think about that when I do this show. And you know, we get moments where people are in the chat room. You know, when they get just completely disrespectful, that's a whole different situation. They have to go. And, you know, I like to hear other people's opinions. But what I'm learning from you is that, you know, I'm learning how to, I can listen to them, but I don't necessarily take them in. I know now that I don't have to, you know, I don't have to listen to everything they're saying. I know I could completely mute this person in the chat room, you know, but I didn't feel like they were being totally disrespectful, like, towards other people. But ladies and gentlemen, we understand that a lot of you all may have knowledge about a lot of things, and that's cool, you know, but if your information isn't pertaining to the subject matter that my dad and I are talking about, we appreciate it, but it's not going to be used, and it's going to be ignored, you know, because we're not going to get into shouting matches. We're not going to compare sticks. We're not going to compare our intelligence with other people's intelligence. If you've got knowledge, great. You know, share it with people, but don't be trying to share with people just to say, I know more than you, because then you won't accomplish anything. You know, it was not a competition. We're here to do what we do every Thursday and Saturday night. So I bend a little bit because I'm curious to hear what some people want to discuss. And my dad doesn't. You know, he ain't got time for that shit. If you're not making relevance to what we're talking about. If you're not growing with the subject matter in hand, you know, that's all I'm saying. If you're not about the growth of the discussion, then that's what I'm saying, that you don't have time for that.
Yeah, well, what I don't have time for, you know, is something that ain't what we're talking about. I feel like I have a responsibility. It would be no different if I was having a classroom and our topic of discussion, whatever it may be. I have a responsibility to the class to allow discussion to be pertinent to the topic at hand. If someone wants to
take the topic at hand and make a further point politically or otherwise to emphasize, you know, their own philosophy right on. You know, as long as it's born from the topic at hand. But if you're going to take the classroom and decide that becomes your forum to just talk about what you want to teach, if it was your class, regardless of what the structure and the topic at hand is, oh, no, I got, why would I allow people to have to deal with that? You know, that's not being polite. You know, that's being irresponsible on my part to even allow it. So this person who was in the chat room was talking nonsense. Now, I'm not interested in nonsense, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody was trying to engage the person, and they just had more nonsense. I used to do that stuff when I was 15 getting high, you know, and that's the mind games we used to play with each other, people trying to, you know, out-talk the other person about something that wasn't related to whatever was being said, or hurry up and switch it to what something else being said, so the other person and I had to switch it to something else. That's the games we used to play when I was 15. You know, there's a professional responsibility attached to the classroom, I mean the chat room, you know, that I feel very much, you know, in some degree of defensiveness around. You know, we do what we do. We've been doing it for a while now, and I can recognize nonsense when I see it based on what we've been doing for the past year, you know, and knowing, you know, when somebody asks you questions like who you are and where you're coming from, and you're going to throw out some galactic bullshit. No, man, you know, that's a child out there talking to grown folks. I ain't got no time for that, you know. And
yeah.
And you know, if that be the criticism that come my way, then I'm more than happy to defend myself in that regard. You know, it's just like, you know, we've had people call in and they start talking about something that got nothing to do with what we're talking about, you know, and
right.
It's like, well, okay, thanks a lot for calling, you know, holla, you know, it's not like I need to let that continue until the other person gets tired. No, I have a responsibility to cut them off, you know, in whatever I consider to be fairness to the audience. And I expect that to happen in anything that I attend. You know, you've been to things before. I know doggone well you haven't. You've been in an audience and somebody get up and just start talking stuff and you hear people around them start moaning and groaning and sighing, you know, and it's like waiting for the moderator to say, okay, thanks a lot, and move on.
Yeah.
You know, we've been in those situations before. Well, this is no different. I don't get off on hearing somebody trying to cause chaos, you know, for the sake of chaos, you know, to pump themselves up. You know, I ain't got no problem with healthy debate. But I know the difference between healthy debate and argument. You know, so that's where I am with that, man. In case there was any doubt on your part, it's not because I'm an impatient old fool that sits around saying, "Get off my lawn." You know, that ain't it, man.
Yeah, I apologize if I put it in that sense. I didn't mean it in that entirety. You know, but there's some parts, you know, respect my lawn. How about that?
Yeah. You know, respect my lawn. You know, like, you know, respect that it's mine. You know,
yeah.
I mean, dad, it ain't the park. You know, it looks green and plush because I put work in it. You know, you're just going to just trample on it because you don't feel like walking on the sidewalk. You know, like, man, you know, yeah, but at the same time, you know, anyway, I don't want to, you know, I know a dead horse when I'm beating it. You know, I just don't want to leave the impression,
no.
You know, that I don't like healthy debate. I love it. You know, I love philosophizing. You know, it's what, you know, should keep us as a people going anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have much patience for foolishness. And I think, you know, I know the difference. I trust that I do, else I'm being negligent in my responsibilities to a show like this. You know, I don't expect it. Matter of fact, I welcome when people don't agree, you know. And I'm not looking for let's agree to disagree. I hate that, you know. I ain't talking about that either.
Every time I'm in it.
Yeah, man. You know, man.
you know. And it's always the person, it's never a vote. It's like the other person decides this is their way of getting the last word in. Well, okay, then let's just agree to disagree. You know, like, okay, now we're going to move on. Like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, no. I'm not ready to sign off yet. So anyway, man, you know, I'm loving the idea of what we offer. And I was hoping you would talk. So since we're on air and since there's, you know, there's nobody beating down the queue to make comment, what's up with the radio show that's airing our archive programs? Is that what you told me? Somewhere in Iowa, somewhere? Oh, don't tell me up on that.
Yeah, give me a second to see if I can find the call numbers. I wasn't ready for that, sorry.
You ain't got to find the call numbers. I just wanted you to confirm that it's true, that there is a radio station out there that's airing our shows. You know, you ain't got to do nothing else with it.
Yeah, so in our expansion to reach out to all of our millions and millions of listeners out there, you know, we've branched out in different platforms, Spotify, Anchor, Apple, Google Podcasts, Mixcloud, you know, so we've got different platforms that we're on. And we will be.
I found this. Alanda Gregory is the person who has her own radio station in Iowa, you know, and you told me that, you know, I got a message from a friend who lives in Iowa who wants to replay our shows in her radio station. And I'm like, you haven't told her yet that, yeah, go ahead and do it, baby? Is she waiting for our permission?
So, as I was saying, we're on the different platforms, and now we are expanding to this radio called Dub City Radio. Alanda Gregory is the owner. It's Dub City Radio. You can go to dubcityradio.com. D-U-B, City Radio. D-U-B-C-I-T-Y-R-A-D-I-O.
Yeah, we know how to spell that. All
so,
one word?
Yeah, it's all one word.
DubCityRadio.com. Okay, gotcha.
So what we're looking at is to have our shows broadcast on Dub City Radio, and I believe it'll be Wednesday nights. I think we're going to do it Wednesday nights. So, like, this show would be aired next Wednesday to prepare for next Thursday's show.
Okay, I mean, so
still
you're in communication down. You're in communication with Alanda Gregory?
Yeah, Dad, I just didn't know you were going to bring it up tonight. I mean, yeah.
Well, what difference is it going to bring it up? We had time to talk about it. So why not talk about it? I mean, what's the secret? I just think that's exciting.
Okay.
I got all
we're,
I need.
We're in communication.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's excellent. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, man. I didn't know it was a big secret. I guess that's a control.
Wasn't a secret. I just didn't have the information ready. And I just wanted to make sure I had the information you were looking for. That's all.
Actually,
caught me by surprise.
I needed was to say, yeah, man, that's what I'm looking at. And I would have been good. Yeah, I didn't need anything else. I just wanted some confirmation that I had read the text right. That's pretty exciting to me. But like I told my sister-in-law, you know, what's exciting to me doesn't require that it's exciting to anybody else. You know, so I got what I needed when you said, yeah, right on. Yeah, I'm being real interested to see where that goes. You know, that's we were talking before, and I know we were talking about it before because I know I was talking about it before, that I really believe that this is going to manifest itself in the other platforms, you know, and I've been saying that for months now. And for you to throw something out here that suggests
and a clear indication that, yep, it's starting to happen. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sorry, excuse me, but that's exciting to me. You know, I like the idea of, I was raised on radio. I don't think radio is going anywhere. So the idea that somebody, you know, values our show enough to put it on their radio station, oh, yeah, that's very exciting to me. You know, absolutely, all the way. That's how things get going. You know, that's how things blossom. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of spring, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, it is very exciting. The growth is there. I'm excited. So
I won't ask any more questions about it. I'll just wait till you dole out the information.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, I don't know what time yet or time slot. So, you know, just small little details that haven't been ironed out yet. And it's just a matter of the technical aspects with the downloading the shows and just making sure they have the shows, stuff like that that needs to be done. But yeah, it's happening, you know, it's happening. And once I know the time, the slot time, definitely will share with everybody. Well, I'm excited too, man. I'm excited. I'm just real chill, I guess. I don't know. Maybe, you know, once I hear it playing on the air, then, you know, I'm that kind of person. Where meanwhile, I get excited afterwards. I don't know. But I'm very, very happy about it. So, yeah, Dove City Radio. Dove City Radio. Coming soon. So, that's fine. I'm glad you brought that up. So yeah, I think that's all I got for us tonight.
Okay, man. Well, in the media world, they say it's a full lid. You know,
full lid. Okay.
Yeah. Right on, man.
Like,
so, do you like think cooking? You think whatever the technical problem was earlier today is why there were no call-ins?
No, you were able to call in.
Well, I'm a co-host. I just had a feeling that just, well, maybe not. Yeah, you know, I'm still learning this stuff as I go. Okay, cool. I won't beat that dead horse. Outstanding, man. Great show tonight. You know, I love the platform of dialogue and information. You know, the conflicts of interest and the challenges in the chat room. Yeah, that's what I call the full lid. You know, and onward to next week, huh?
Right. Well, Saturday first, and then next Thursday. That's right. We're looking forward to every week, and like you said, new things are happening, changes are happening, growth is happening.
I hope we get a chance next week to talk a little bit about this whole thing that George is doing as far as sabotaging, you know, voter rights. You know, I don't know if we talk enough about that. We, not meaning me and you, just as a people. You know, we hear, you know, I don't even know if we're interested when our, you know, when our spokespersons are trying to explain, hey, look, y'all, you know, this your right to vote. Maybe because we're not that excited about voting, we don't understand what lack of voting can do to us as a people. Maybe we don't even believe anything can be done in spite of everything that is happening every day to us. Maybe we've been so conditioned that we just think it doesn't matter. We're destined to just be less than the greater whole anyway, no matter what. You know, I don't know, but there's a lot of black folks out there plugging away, you know, trying to ensure our right to vote. And I think we owe it to them, if not to anybody else, to spend some time giving them airtime for the work that they're trying to do to ensure that, you know, it won't be against the law to give a brother or a sister a bottle of water because they've been standing in line 5 hours in 90-degree heat waiting to vote. You know, what kind of ridiculous law is that? See, that's that old, you know, 19th century, you know, 1800s, Jim Crow approach. Biden said, that's not Jim Crow, that's Jim Eagle. I cracked up. He's like, yeah, y'all need to understand, this is big.
Yeah, so hopefully we can spend some time on that. Yeah, he said that, and he said that during his his show, his address. This morning during his address. Yeah.
That's interesting that he said eagle. I'm sure some cat cringed when he used eagle.
No, man.
You know,
heck no. I didn't. He said, it ain't Jim Crow. That's Jim Eagle. He was making a point. This is huge. This is gigantic. And I like the fact that he used, you know, that symbol. It's like, so let's be real sure. You know, I hope people did cringe. Good. Ain't enough cringing going on. You know, man, we cringe every time somebody used the N-word. You know, is that the same as saying eagle? I don't think so. Yeah, but I know what you're saying.
I was just saying eagle,
like, oh,
because of the...
Yes,
I was just saying the eagle because of the symbolism with American
sacred
society.
Symbol.
You know, how the,
I got it.
The eagle's been
saying.
Used.
I knew exactly what you were saying. Right on. Yeah. Sacred symbol. That's right. Yeah. I'm glad he used that one. Yeah, he could have said Jim Buzzard. He could have said Jim Walter. Yeah, he could have said all that. You know, he could have said, you know, what else is out there flying around? Jim Hawk. You know, Jim Eagle. Yeah, man. I hope, and you're right. That's probably going to be what's going to be on Fox News tonight. And he used eagle, our sacred symbol, you know, to try and talk about, you know, the issues that those blacks are having. How dare him? Yeah, right on. Right on, Joe. Yeah, anyway. All right, man. I'm going to shut up, get out the way. Great show. Love the interaction. I love the sparring we've done. And, you know, I'm a step aside.
All right, so until next week, Daddy-O. Like I said, Saturday, 10 a.m., write your own book club. So until next week, you all be safe out there.
Amen.
I would say mask up, but a lot of people aren't masking up now because they're getting their vaccinations and spring break and people are partying.
Got it going, man. Sitting in bars like it was like it's 1999. Man,
you know, like it ain't nothing. Yeah. But, you know, really, man, you'll all be safe out there. Just be safe out there in all aspects of COVID and people out here trying to take with you everything else. Just be safe. Know your surroundings. Hope to hear you all Saturday and next week. Dad, I'll talk to you soon. Everybody,
always,
have a good night.
As always, best friend.
All right. Have a good night. Love you, Dad.
Love you back.
Feeling this way, I guess I should be crying, but my heart just won't obey. If you'll stay, you'll be happy as I lie here on the rooftop.